Good evening. May we, the Council of the Town of Essendean, being mindful of the Code of Conduct, have the integrity and wisdom to consider the matters before us honestly, graciously, and for the greater good of the town. Thank you. So welcome, everybody. And on behalf of the Town of Essendean, I'd firstly like to acknowledge that our town was founded on the lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people, and to say, as always, that we pay our respects to the Noongar old elders past, present and future. We will move on to public question time as item 2 on the agenda, but I'd just like to remind everybody present that our meetings are recorded and live streamed to the internet, so everything that is tonight's proceedings are recorded, so just to make everybody aware of that. So first of all, we've got public question time. So if there's any member of the public who would like to ask a question of council, can you just raise your hand and I'll invite you to come and speak at the microphone. Mr. Yates, you would have disappointed me if you hadn't put your hand up. Please come forward.
Thank you. I'll just take the knife out of my back. John Yates, 10 Thompson Road, Success Hill. It'd be nice to see Success Hill actually listed in the minutes, not Essendean. That aside, a couple of quick questions, if I may. About 4 weeks ago, we had a fire. My neighbour had a fire along the Railway Parade, or along the Railway Reserve, I should say. And I looked at, with 7-year-old Malachi 6 months ago, and I looked at it again in the last few days, we have a lot of build-up of leaves and broken trees, damaged trees, at the Arboretum. My concern is, looking at that much growth, is there a plan to actually clean up the undergrowth so we don't have a fire?
Mr. Carr, are you able to answer Mr. Yates' question?
Thank you, Mr. Yates. Yeah, we have a contractor who's due to start, purchase orders have just been issued to start going in there to do some maintenance work within that area at the moment.
That would be good. Just a look at the leaf build-up on the pathway near the swings. It's been there for 6 months, and the dead tree in, what is it, Centenary Court, has been there for a while as well, just down from the Arboretum. But that's good. The other thing is, in that same area, we're talking about swings and roundabouts and all that sort of business and playgrounds. The playground at the Broadway has also been suffering. I know there has been some studies about to actually happen, but like I say, at that time, 6.5-year-old Malachi looked at the swings and said, I wouldn't ride on those swings because I'd get my fingers caught in the chains. So my concern is this. When we're looking at new playgrounds, for example, at Sandy Beach, we don't seem to have a track record to date in actually maintaining the equipment. Is that going to change?
Thanks. It's a good question. Mr. Cardi, were you able to respond to that?
That's right, yes. Under our asset management, we have a plan to upgrade all our playground equipment as per the condition rating of the area. Unfortunately, some of the playground equipment we've had in the past is starting to deteriorate, and we use it because we can't get those parts anymore, and we're upgrading those as we go along. And then under the recreation services, they're reviewing all the playgrounds in the area to see replace those or upgrade those or to develop in a different way of doing it, pending the consultation with the community.
That would be good. Can I sneak in one last question, if I may?
Yes.
Thank you. One of the things you're talking about this evening is the playground at Sandy Beach, and it, to a certain extent, is predicated on $200,000 from the Lotteries Commission and also the sale of the two blocks at 48 Carrington Street and 93 Lord Street. It's been a year, over a year, since Lord Street was identified as being a rapid transit corridor with high density, and it could be at least another year before that it actually gets some sort of recognition as to what the density might be. Should the block, should those blocks, particularly the Lord Street block, not be put into the marketplace until there's some sort of progress, I guess, as far as the Local Planning Scheme 10 amendments are concerned, so the town realises sufficient funds to actually go to the playground?
I think the CEO will address this.
Certainly. We actually have had advice in regards to the value of those two blocks of land, and whilst it's a fairly flat, depressed market at the moment, indicators suggest that after the federal election, activity will probably pick up. So we're hoping for a sale post the federal election.
Okay, I guess just a postscript to that. Should the planning for the Sandy Beach playground actually be put on hold till you actually know what the funds are from the sale of the two blocks plus the outcome of the Lotteries Commission? I know there's some 240,000 or thereabouts from the cash in lieu, so that's secured, but the other funding really need to know what the funding is before you really start planning, the playground.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Yates. We do actually have a preferred funding source, which is the sale of the two blocks of land, supplemented by the Lottery West grant. In the event the two blocks of land don't sell in a timely manner, there are other alternatives which will be put to council to consider. One could be looking at our reserves funding as an alternate source.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? Okay, in that case we'll move on to 2.2, which is addresses by members of the public. If there's anyone that would like to speak to a particular item on tonight's agenda, now is your chance. Okay.
Can I just make a short comment, if I may?
Yes, you may.
TPS 4A. I know Bruce Kay wants to talk about TPS 4A.
Don Yates, 10 Thompson Road, Success Hill. It's about 8-9 years ago or thereabouts, when I was a councillor, that we talked about cleaning up two blocks of land every year, or in that order, and selling them to become self-sustaining as far as cleaning up is concerned. Because I think on the register, there's about 60 blocks of land that the town owns, and if some of those blocks were cleaned up, sold, then the whole program of cleaning up has to become self-sustaining, and the surplus cash could go into TPS 4A. And it'd be good, I think, as part of looking back over some of the agenda items in the past to actually maybe bring that up in consideration. And I guess also being a person who's been part of the pick a figure, $1 million worth of planning initiatives and reports over the last number of years, it's a shame to see some of those reports not being sort of utilised maybe to the degree they could. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, did you have your hand up, Val? Yeah, Mrs. Dwyer. Thank you.
One thing I can't hear very well, I can't hear your replies.
Sorry, I'll try to speak
What
up
I would
you.
Like to say to you is there's more to Bethendine than Old Perth Road. You want to have a look at the main part from the beginning of Perth Road down to Guildford to come into this place. We've got the civic area there. It needs sprucing up. So does Morley Drive. On the corner of Northmore Road and Walter Road, there's a heap of Geraldton Wax. They've never been tidied up. There's rubbish there. And if I wanted to go and break into some houses, I could go and be sheltered there and work out who's home and who's not home and who would I knock off. But I won't be doing that.
Good to hear that.
The other one is I hope that you will give some consideration to the art show and take it back to Cyril Jackson. That hall is too small. The children's art is not being encouraged because they've been shoved up past the toilets in the Scrabble room. And if you want to bring on the art, it works very well at Cyril Jackson. You're encouraging using other places. I just think you should take it back to there.
No, it's a good point, and Peter, the CEO, and I myself went down to Cyril Jackson recently, and we were talking about some opportunities for...
I would like to give both of you a compliment. You went over very well at Wider Vision, and it was a soft sell, but you did it very well.
Thank you, we appreciate it. Is there anybody else who would like to address council at this point? Okay, so moving on to item 3, attendances, apologies and applications for leave. So Councillor Quinton is down for a leave of absence, but she's actually here, so we're glad to have you here tonight.
Thank you.
Is there anybody that would like to have a leave of absence?
Yes, Your Worship, I seek leave of absence from the 26th of April to the 20th of May.
I will be back from time to time, but that's, I'm not sure when, but I will be on the end of telephone or communication during that period.
26th of April to the 20th of May. And I intend to be away from tomorrow until next Tuesday, the 30th. Anything further? Okay. We have a mover for the leave of absence. Councillor Mikichuk, seconded Councillor Hamilton. All those in favour? And that is carried. Thank you. Okay, so item four is deputations. We have two this evening. So first we have Mr Brent Fleeton, who is speaking on item 10.4. In regards to the parking on Broadway and Railway Parade. Would you like to come and take a seat at the
sure.
table?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
So you've got up to 10 minutes to speak to councillors on this item and then questions.
No, won't need that long. Firstly, thanks for the opportunity and thanks for the process that was undertaken. It was very easy dealing with the CEO and the relevant director. So fully supportive of what the recommendation was. I know you've already moved it to pass on block. I just had a question, if I can, about the bays that we've requested to be reconfigured.
So can I just clarify? Are you, when you say you're comfortable with the recommendation, the recommendation in the agenda tonight, because it was updated since the briefing session?
Apologies, I only checked the briefing session one. Did it materially change much?
Well, the only change was that in the briefing, correct me if I'm wrong, it was only six or seven of the unrestricted parking bays that were going to be changed to 2 hours, and now the recommendation is for all 13.
Perfect, yeah. That's great, yeah. Yep. Excellent, thank you. I'm sure you know when you come down the street and there's no bays on the left where BWS is, people have to swing around, can't do it, you get pinged for $400. Was there a particular reason why the concrete path couldn't be changed to two bays as we discussed at the meeting? Was it a budget thing that we'd need to apply for, or was there... If there's a reason, we'll leave it at that, but I just wanted to check.
Is that something that you're able to answer?
Oh, we'll take it on notice.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. And the other one, the bays directly outside of CAF on Broadway, how they're on those angles. What was the reason why we couldn't maybe fit one or two more in with some paint or just a change of configuration? On notice? Yeah, that's fine. But that was really it, if we can get that. I mean, you'll pass it tonight. Maybe we can look at it again in future. It was just... there's so much room there and only a few bays. There's so much empty concrete as well that we could fit some more in. But, yeah, that's it from me.
Yeah, apologies that the officer that you were dealing with wasn't able to be here to answer your questions tonight.
No, that's fine.
Do councillors have any questions for Mr Fleeton?
Yeah, just one. I found it interesting, being a cafe, that you wanted... the time extended from 1 hour to 2 hours. But ordinarily, they like the turnover, and people generally don't spend up to 2 hours in a cafe.
We know that the bays aren't for the cafe only, so we're very aware that someone might want to park there and have coffee or breakfast there, then walk over to the other side of the road. 1 hour is pretty restrictive if they wanted to do a little bit more in the town centre, so we're very aware that they're not just for us. All good?
Great, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Much appreciated. So now Mr Bruce Kay is going to speak to us on item 1010, which is the finalisation of Town Planning Scheme 4A. And thank you, Mr Kay, for coming and speaking with Peter and I think it was Brian last week. And apologies that I wasn't available at that time, but very pleased that you're here tonight to be able to speak to the whole of council.
Thank you, Your Worship. Let me turn my page over to the right part. I do have some material that I've prepared to assist councillors, and that's largely come from a conversation last week with two councillors where I realised that they actually had little knowledge of what Scheme 4A really is. So this handout here...
Thank you.
There's two pieces here. So there's two pieces of paper there. One are my notes for my talk to you tonight, and in 10 minutes I'll only talk to it, but they're for you to read. And the other is actually a copy of the scheme plan and the scheme text. And I think one of the first things I'd like to stress that I'm a supporter of closing of the scheme, principally because I believe the scheme's objectives have been met, bar a couple of land dealings. And to understand that, you need to read the scheme text and the plan. So perhaps if I could ask councillors just to look at the plan first without getting distracted on the other stuff. Just so that you can see the extent of Scheme 4A. And when it was put together originally, all those bits that were yellow were vacant land and unused, and the other parts were there. So the scheme was to get all those areas developed. And now if you were to drive around the town today, you'll find they all have been developed. Most are built on and have houses. And the perhaps the only outstanding issue is a few parcels of land, and let's, I want to try and keep this general without naming lot numbers, but a few parcels of land to tidy up the open space down at Ashfield Flats. So if you then turn to the town planning scheme text, and if you just turn to paragraph 6, which is the general objectives of the scheme, to improve and develop the scheme area to the best possible advantage by making provisions for the planning and undertaking of work, to make suitable provision for the better use of the land, to make suitable provision for roads and traffic transportation, to make provision for land to be used for public open space, and to provide for sharing of the costs in the scheme. Then there's a list of scheme works, and if you're looking at the plan, there's different areas. There's area A, area B, area C, and they each have a little different function. The scheme was partly a guided scheme and partly a resumptive scheme, and so most of those parcels of land have been achieved through a guided process where the owners of the land have carried out the development and turned it into usable land. So most of them also have been finished for about 20 years or more. So for 20 years there hasn't been any more land rather than the land exchanges to finish the open space to do, and we've been sitting here wandering along. My contention is that the objectives of the scheme have been substantially achieved and that there's no reason that the scheme shouldn't be tidied up. Second part, financial matters. This is perhaps a slightly different account. For reasons that aren't really clear to me, there was never a scheme, town planning scheme account established in the town. And so for all these years, neither councillors nor ratepayers have had any clear oversight of the scheme's progress or its position. To an example of that, there's been various estimates of it. So in June 1992, 324,000 deficit. In December 1998, 302,000, this is estimated, deficit. July 2005, $750,000 surplus. In November 2013, 278,000 odd deficit. In late 2016, $800,000 of deficit. And in June 2017, and confirmed at our meeting the other day, is still the current figure, $2 million of deficit. The last figure is based on some assumptions of land purchase costs of what we might earn from selling land and so on, so it is quite a variable figure, but it's still the best indication at the moment of the cost that faces us. Most of these figures have never been recorded in annual reports or in the risk register for the town or suffered any audit, as far as I can find out. In fact, I think the only thing that might constitute an audit is the Hadlow report of 1997. So it's just not been there put together. A part of the scheme was developed dwelling unit contributions as lot contributions. So everybody in the scheme area who built, including the brown areas, which are area A, even though they had no real gain, was intended to pay a dwelling unit contribution to help fund the scheme. The last figure I've seen, and someone can tell me I'm wrong, but it was $1,995 per lot. I do know that our former mayor, Councillor Klein, tried to get the figure updated quite a few years ago, but that didn't happen. So if you look around and I went and had a look at the areas A that still have a vacant lot, and there, as far as I can tell, 8 lots still to be built on in Area A, and so 8 lots of that thing would provide a contribution to the scheme of $15,960. It's not a large sum in relation to the debt, but it is a sum towards the cost and shouldn't be ignored. For land matters, which is probably the nub of the matter that you will all have to address, the town owns the following lots. Lot 271 Hamilton Street has 3 parcels, Lot 103 Iverson Place, Lot 103 Anstey Road, Lot 162 Anstey Road, Lot 163 Anstey Road. These lots all have some sort of an issue, potentially, with their condition, but these could be prepared and sold to reduce the scheme debt. Amendment 17 of the scheme, which was passed in February last year, listed some lots for purchase for open space: Lot 211 Carnegie Street, Part Lot 206 Highland Street, Part Lot 130 Anstey Road, and Part Lot 113 Harcourt Street. And one of those, at least, is in this land exchange that's recently in progress. And there was a couple of bits of land to come off a couple of lots to make a footway. With regard to the sale of these lots, and that's a point that Mr. Reid, I know, has struggled with, the terms uncontrolled fill and contamination are used, in my view, very loosely. And these terms can encompass a small item or a very big item. I've been involved in my professional experience in remediating different lots and land, and we've been able to achieve that by simple site measures and without a great cost, as compared to there's bad dirt here, load it up, take it to tip for $40 or $45 a cubic metre and bring sand back in at $25 a cubic metre. I think we can do better than that. And what I'd like to offer is, if Council's technical director is willing, I would come in and talk with him and his staff about some of the things that I've done on different sites in Forestville, here in Bassendean, and in Maylands, to suggest some mechanism that maybe will reduce the cost of all these, depending entirely on what the geotechnical report says for the lot. And to get them to a sale where they can be sold, perhaps as an S classification lot, not an A, but at least an S classification, which will get a better value than selling them unremediated. So there's two choices now. One is closure now, as I've called it, and the other is closure at a future time. So for me, closure now will stop the ongoing annual costs. And while these are a little bit difficult, I have a 2013 letter from the CEO, Mr. Jarvis, which listed the annual costs from 1980 to 2013, and they averaged out at $43,411 per annum over that 19-year period. It's the only indication we've got of what their actual monthly running costs are. It shouldn't be that, but that's what it was in that period. So closure now will also ensure that the scheme debt is cleared. We won't have a town with perhaps a large debt sitting on our books. It also should be noted that closure won't happen instantly, and my expectation that with the best will and efforts of our staff and everybody else, it would still probably take 18 months to sort out these lots, sell them, get them settled and have the money in the bank. So I'm not expecting that it will happen magically overnight. It could take longer than that, I hope not, but it shouldn't do that. The alternative is not to try and close the scheme now and leave it hanging. So the future closure means ongoing annual costs of an unknown amount. It means the debt will grow with the cost of holding the debt somewhere, as debts always do. Future closing means the debt should be shown on our risk register as a liability and will probably in the end affect the town's ability to borrow funds because it will be there as a debt. The time frame on future closure is unknown, as that's a decision that council would make. There's no gain to the scheme's objectives in continuing the scheme in the future because they've all been achieved bar their last bits of land exchange. I'd like to support item 10.10 on the minutes, that a full report be brought to council. And I'd like to support to you as the councillors that we close the scheme at the earliest practicable moment.
Thank you very much for your time and for your efforts in preparing this for council. It's greatly appreciated. And also your generous offer to share your expertise with the town staff. I think that would be greatly appreciated as well. But are there any questions at this point that councillors would like to ask of Mr. Kay? Councillor Ganju?
Thanks for the overview. Now, you mentioned the Anstey Road blocks. Now, there's four of the blocks on Anstey Road, so you would suggest using them as ways to basically sell the blocks to close the scheme?
In Amendment 17 is to the scheme, only preserved two of those as residential blocks and kept the other two as park. Mm. I don't agree with that because they're in a corner of a road and four blocks together would offer some attraction. It would mean, I think, having to amend the scheme again to change those, but that can be done.
Yep.
Any lots we've got that we've got down for sale, I think we should sell to offset the debt, absolutely.
Yeah. Councillor Mikachuk,
can I just clarify something regarding a potential interest? Does having a lot within the scheme with close proximity mean that I have a proximity interest to the item or an issue for the deputation? Just
something we could take on notice.
I think if I read the plan correctly, your lot is not in the scheme area.
No.
You're opposite some of the lots,
but...
No.
But we're just talking about the general...
Yes.
Yeah,
I
think it's
being
fine.
On the same side.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I have some questions. So some of those lots are reserved parks and recreation, and some, for instance, the Anstey Road lots are valued by some in the community as an environmental asset. Are you saying their monetary value is more important than that, and you think that that's worth realising over in kind of environmental / public space value that they may hold?
I guess I'm trying to be a little bit pragmatic, and I know we have a group of citizens in the town who value the open space and want to maximise that. And I think the four lots that Councillor Ganju was referring to are in the corner thing, and they're not really related to open space. You'd have 2,000 square metres of a little corner that's not there. The lots were also serviced by sewer under the Better Cities program in 1980, so that, you know, they were properly serviced. I think it's a choice, and council will obviously decide this, but I think in some cases we could convert those to lots and sell them and get the money to clear the scheme and perhaps have that to finish some of the other lots into the parkland.
Mm. And given that the report cites a figure of $2 million potential deficit due to contamination and other issues, you know, it seems like you may have outlined some areas where they can that can be reduced, but it seems that there would still be a sufficient or a large amount of debt. Are you saying that what you're proposing would significantly eat into that or reduce that?
Well, I was looking at sale of the land that's held under the scheme, if you like, to try and offset the deficit to the town, because the scheme text says if there's a profit, that the money's turned back into the landowners, and if there's a deficit, then the town wears it. Yeah. If you were to go to all our citizens and say, yeah, we've got this scheme and it's got a $2 million deficit and the levy for every ratepayer is $120 or something, I think you'd probably get deluged with phone calls. So, for my view, we should try and make the best use of the land that's in it to get as much money as possible so that the deficit or the debt is as small as possible before we have to consider funding it.
And my understanding is that there's not a hole in a bank account somewhere, but it's $2 million that won't be a profit or won't be available to be used elsewhere. There's not...
Can I just say two things? One is there's a land exchange that's in process, which involves a piece of land opposite where you live, I believe. Council approved that land exchange with a cost of $80,000. My understanding, the final figure to read out looks $315,000. Where does the money come from? I'm not involved in the account, so I don't really know, but it would come from general town revenue. So I don't know the full details of the $2 million. We'd have to ask Mr. Reed to provide details of that. I assume it's a number of things of remediating blocks and selling blocks and some selling costs and all those bits and pieces and to buy the other two lots. So I think one of the things about item 10.10 is calling for is proposing that staff prepare a full report, and I'd hope to see that sort of detail included in there. I don't have it.
Thank you. Councillor Hamilton, then Councillor Brown.
I'm not sure which blocks this pertains to, but my understanding is that some of the residential adjoining the Bindarin Park area, that they were given higher density or split coding density or something like that to offset those portions of their land which were supposed to become part of the reserve. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Okay. So this leaves a little bit of a conundrum, because if that's the case and these property owners have ceded more or less a portion of their land which is not yet incorporated in the scheme, in return for which they get a higher density coding, it seems very, well, to my mind, somewhat messy.
Well, it would seem that way. And if there's a deal being made with the owners, then that should, to my mind, should still be in place.
I thought it was part and parcel of the scheme. I'm not entirely sure of the details of it.
I'll have to try and find out.
Councillor Hamilton, Mr. Reed said he'll clarify that point.
I'd say, as a general principle, the land that was zoned for housing around the Bindarin Park, in essence, or around the area reserved, was given a higher density coding than the base coding in Basildean. So generally, the land or residential land around the scheme area is zoned R25 now, as opposed to R20. That was a mechanism to maximise development potential around the park area, not necessarily where a portion of somebody's land has been reserved, because the original intention, or one of the intentions of the 4A scheme, was that the acquisition of open space would be funded by the unit development contribution, and I think the original scheme grossly overestimated the number of dwellings that would have been created after the scheme.
Thank you for that.
Councillor Brown.
Thanks, Bruce. I'm not sure the lot number, but 87 Whitfield Street is land owned by the council. That's not included in the scheme.
Councillor, Mr. Reed.
Can I pass the question? 87 Whitfield Street is not within the town planning scheme for me.
But it is land owned by the town.
Yes.
Is there a reason that it's not?
Not what?
Contained
within the
scheme.
It's outside the geographical boundaries of the scheme when the scheme was designed, and I think it's quite remote from the scheme.
It lays there dormant, and it is an asset available to the town. I understand there's some remediation issues. I've seen the report that says there's contamination to a depth of 600 mil, which is knee deep, and it's only contained in one section of that substantial block. That is available to the town for sale. Yes or no?
Eventually, yes, it's owned for residential. It would be available for sale. And I think this is something that Mr. Kay has touched on, is that when we speak to people about land with geotechnical issues or contamination issues, it seems we kind of told anecdotally that the cost of remediation is getting up close to the sale price of the land. So you'd kind of question, is it worth remediating that land for sale? When Mr. Kay is suggesting that the land could be remediated at a far lesser cost than the estimates that we've had historically, and I think like 271 Hamilton Street, if you refer to as one, where originally the costs were estimated to be around 80,000, and then through subsequent budgets, it's increased to 300,000 or 400,000.
Thank you. I picked up on Mr. Casey too. I'm like-minded. Some of these assertions need to be challenged because, as I said, 600 mil in an area the size of a small swimming pool is not a huge ask to remediate, and it provides a substantial amount to the coffers of council. It lays there dormant at the moment. So thank you.
Are there any other questions? Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. So this report that you've prepared for us sometimes use the word deficit and sometimes use the word debt. Is that deliberate, or are you using the two interchangeably?
Perhaps in writing that I should have gone back and used a common term. For me, it's the same thing. Well, I suppose I don't technically know whether the deficit is real money or paper money.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But if you do an account and we've spent more and done that, and there's a sum of money that's out, then that's either a deficit or a debt, depending on how you want to look at it. It's a debt that has to be met to the scheme from the town.
Yes, but to who? Is this money that needs to be paid to somebody?
Well, I would assume most of these things are, and this is a tricky part in going back to 1981.
Yes.
It's maybe monies that the town has spent, and because there's not been a scheme account, that got lost in other parts of the budget.
Yes.
So I can't answer you any better than that, and I would hope that if Mr. Reid's going to bring a full report forward, that should be clearer.
Thank you.
Councillor Quinton.
Very blue sky question. Is there any way of abolishing the scheme as it is now? Making another scheme amendment over the top of it to completely abolish it?
I'm not a town planner. I've seen all sorts of things done over the time, but whether the planning commission would want you to close up a scheme without the money being balanced, probably unlikely. Can I ask
so
Mr.
Reid
for
I think
opinion?
That's part of the point of the report that this item is calling for, is to have those five options presented to council.
Thing.
Is that correct, Mr. Reid?
Just not from the minister, but we've had previous advice a couple of years ago, maybe a little bit more, from the town's lawyers, McLeod's, saying that the council, the town has still got outstanding commitments to the scheme, and until we finalise those commitments to the scheme, the minister is unlikely to let us wind the scheme up. Need the minister's consent to wind up the scheme, and a part of the issue is the scheme making a profit, a loss, or breaking even? Because, as Mr. Kay said, it's a guided and resumptive scheme with dollars attached.
So can I just clarify when that advice was received, under which administration?
I need to take it on. I need to research it.
Would it be worth asking again under a new government?
Yes.
That advice
can
is not that old.
I just clarify that it was legal advice rather than through the government. The question was posed to our lawyers, could we wind the scheme up?
Have we ever asked the minister, as compared to asking a lawyer what the minister might think? Have we asked the minister directly?
You know, I don't think so.
Maybe that's something we could investigate in our report.
It's been written down as a note right now. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Kay.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. It's going in my important drawer.
Okay, so moving on to item 5, which is confirmation of the minutes. So item 5.1, do we have a mover that the meeting on the 26th of March be received? Councillor Brown moved, seconded Councillor Mikichuk. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. And 5.1b, that they are confirmed as a true record, moved by Councillor Brown, seconded Councillor Mikichuk. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Item 6 as announcements. So firstly, I just wanted to bring everyone's attention to the fact that the Ideas Hub, as part of Bassendream Our Future, was opened last Monday. So that will be open Monday to Friday
9 till 5, I believe, and during some of our public events. And we'd really encourage everybody to come along, have a look, especially when our 3D models are available, to help guide the consultation process around our future planning of the town. We also have on Thursday our Anzac Day ceremony. So 10:45, there's a parade down Old Perth Road, followed by the service at 11 a.m. And finally, as most of you be aware, we have the Sri Lankan Consulate within our town, and just given the events over the Easter weekend, just wanted to express our condolences and give our sympathies to the Sri Lankan people. Item 7 is petitions. I don't think we have any this month. Item 8, declarations of interest from councillors. There are none. So item 9, business deferred from previous meeting. So 9.1 is the Tonkin Park Industrial Estate fencing audit and review. Were there any updates in the report since the briefing session, Mr. Reid, that you wanted to bring to people's attention?
Well, yeah, as it was the, thank you for that, the officer recommendation has picked up on the general discussion about trees on development sites, and as well as our suggestion of deleting reference to the setback, the front setback of industrial fencing. We are suggesting that the rate of tree planting within car parking areas increases to one for every 4 bays as opposed to the 1 for 6 bays that's in the policy currently.
Thank you. So we've got the officer recommendation. We've also had an alternative motion circulated by Councillor Hamilton. Does everybody have a copy of that as well? Are there questions from councillors? Councillor Mikichuk?
Yes, I have a question for Councillor Hamilton. Is that okay?
Yes, would you like to read out your...
Yeah, just... Okay.
Alternative?
Okay, so that Council 1 approves a modification to Local Planning Policy Number 6, Industrial Zones Development Design Guidelines, to amend landscaping Part D from the existing ratio of 1 tree per 6 car parking bays to 1 tree per 4 car parking bays, with all tree planting to comply with the town's specifications. And 2, now with 2 I've just added a little piece, so I'll, it's not quite. 2A is as I've got written, and then I've added a second part to number 2, 2B.
Sorry, can you read out 2A for everyone as well, please?
Okay, 2A notes that the Planning Department of the Town of Bathurst will cease compliance action against landowners of 76 and 80 May Holman Drive, Bathurst, provided the landowners enter into an agreement with the town to install and maintain, at their own cost, verge landscaping and tree planting designed to improve the streetscape of the respective sites. 2B requests that planning staff defer any other action against other landowners identified during the fencing audit as being non-compliant with conditions of approval until point 3 of this motion is concluded.
Just pause there for a moment. So that bit that Councillor Hamilton just read out as point B was an additional point from what you've probably got written and what you would have, Amy, as well?
I don't follow.
No, it's an additional point that I've added in relation to a request from some parties. Point 3 requests officers to undertake an entire review of Local Planning Policy Number 6, Industrial Zones Development Guidelines, to regulate development standards during future renewal of industrial sites to achieve the following objectives: A, to ensure built form and design provides a high standard of amenity and sustainability; B, to achieve coordinated quality development outcomes into the future that maximise streetscape amenity and tree canopy; C, to establish a cohesive framework for the assessment of future applications for development within this zone.
So it seemed to be a bit of confusion over here, Councillor Mikichuk, were you?
Yeah, firstly, just to thank Councillor Hamilton for proposing an alternative, and I can see the merit in, you know, trying to get good development outcomes. I guess the bit that I wanted to understand the rationale behind maybe is, and I apologise if I've missed something, I know your recommendation doesn't refer to the 2 metre setback. Are you hoping that that kind of revision will be picked up in the policy review and therefore it will be addressed, or you don't wish it to be addressed?
Okay. I do wish it to be addressed, but as a whole in the policy. I have read other policies from other councils, and it seems to me that one way or the other, we have other things in our policy that don't lend themselves to that particular recommendation at this moment, that the whole policy needs to be cohesively put together before we look at the setback. Now, some councils don't want fences. Some councils have bigger setbacks. Some councils actually will not allow mesh fencing. So because the policy, because what's recommended by the officers is only piecemeal, I think we should look at the policy as a whole. So that's why I don't wish to have that addressed just at this moment in time. But there are two properties that do need to be addressed, which I've addressed in point 2A.
Thank you.
Councillor
Quinton?
Oh, sorry.
Well, it's probably on the same thing. I'll just let Councillor Mikichuk finish her line of questioning because I've probably got the same questions.
And then some questions maybe for the officers, a bit of a perspective on the alternative, how that fits in addressing the current immediate issues and I guess then resource and priority-wise in terms of when cognizant that there's lots of policies that need to be reviewed about when that may be revisited or addressed.
So, I suppose ideally all of Council's planning policies should be reviewed. I think the officers see it differently, Councillor Hamilton, whether or not the fence is on the front boundary or set back 2 metres is not a huge issue. I think we've pointed out in the report there's some 20 odd properties that don't comply. We don't see it, I suppose, as a planning disaster, and I suggested that the policy be modified to allow the fencing to be on the front boundary as opposed to being 2 metres set back, bearing in mind the council's policy for a time allowed that fencing to be on the front boundary. And I suppose the other comment of me is, suppose there is no objection with the last point of the alternative recommendation asking for a more comprehensive review of that policy.
Okay,
but I suppose it comes down to we've struggled to get the review of planning policies over the last year or two. I suppose it depends on the priority given to council for this particular policy versus other policies that are in need of review. And the Chief Exec had a word with me last week to try to put some type of framework around the timing for the overall, I suppose, a down and dirty review of the policies to bring something to council.
And just sorry, following on from that, with the 20 properties that don't comply, how would they be left in the lurch with the alternative? I noticed there's specific kind of reference to some of them.
I suppose they aren't, I suppose, pressing issues in terms of those other 20 properties. I suppose potentially we might be sitting on development bonds for some of them and not returning them, and we would not return them without a change in policy. And I think I mentioned in the briefing session we've got about either two or three current applications for fencing on the front boundary, and we were kind of waiting for a review of this policy. And then hoping to determine those applications under the deed authority.
And sorry to ask another one, then in regards to the time frame, is that completely unknown, just to key into what you're saying about development bonds and being held, or is that would that be under the direction of council?
I'm not sure if I understand the question.
It seems like there's a bit of a backlog in regards to policy reviews.
Yes.
And I didn't hear from you that there could be a particular time set on this. Therefore,
I think the Chief Exec has asked me to come forward, say, within the next month with a timetable for the overall review of the existing planning policies.
So currently it's unknown how long that would be, and therefore development bonds could be held on to for an unknown period of time. Thank you.
Can I just I don't think that the people who have paid those bonds are banging on our door to see it.
Thank you.
Sorry, I think you don't have any further questions. Councillor Brown, and then to you, Councillor Hamilton.
Thank you. I just point out the irony of the 2 metre setback actually reduces the opportunity to plant more trees. For example, a property with a 30 metre frontage, it's 60 square metres, more car parks could be fitted in there, therefore more trees over which we have control, rather than the Sunday rosemary hedge that they can currently put in the front of their 2 metre setback. If we don't allow that setback, that gives us the opportunity to plant more trees to our specifications. So there's an irony there that I just really quite can't quite understand why we're doing it if we want to achieve a greater tree canopy.
Councillor Hamilton?
This is for the officers. I did send through copies of some policies, and I note that City of Joondalup only updated their policy last year. I note that their setbacks are larger than ours and that there's no fencing allowed within the setback area. Would you agree that this allows those businesses up there to have greater landscaping and tree canopy at the front? Because the reason I ask this is we have another item in confidential business that we're addressing later on tonight where trees are right up against the fence line. So my question is, if we have a setback, does this not allow for the growth of trees on our road reserves to be very large as opposed to a fence right on the boundary and perhaps causing problems in, say, 20 or 30 years' time when it's a full-size tree pressing on the fence and lifting the foundations of a fence and perhaps coming to council and telling us that we have to get rid of the tree? I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
And I need to answer that question honestly, but I suppose putting other items on the agenda to one side for the moment, we're talking about palisade fencing, generally without a footing, and with trees being planted in a modern industrial area with something like a 5 or 6 metre verge, where planting larger trees in that kind of environment should not result in problems we've got elsewhere in the town with trees being planted close to brick boundary walls.
Okay. So let me just confirm as well that the subject properties, the two properties that that we can actually talk about are 76 and 80. They're the only two properties which have to be addressed in the near future, and that could possibly be handled the same way as the other property where some request was made and they got retrospective approval for the fence that was non-compliant, in return for which they did extra verge treatments. Is that correct?
Could you repeat the question?
Okay. Did you not have another property which had non-compliant fencing and it was eventually organised, I think it was Purcell Loop, where they actually did verge enhancement and got retrospective approval for the fencing. Right. So we could do that, as I've suggested in my point to 76 and 80 May Holman Drive. Now, the other properties are
so
non...
What we need to do those two is invite those properties.
Yes.
We need to make a retrospective application.
Okay. That's what I meant. Thank you for correcting me. But what I'm asking is, the other properties that you mentioned, there's no urgency for any action on those at the moment. They are only identified through the audit. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
But let me just say that it was a council resolution that we went through and did the audit of all the fencing in the industrial area to come clearly to a modified policy position in terms of how fencing should be treated in the industrial area.
Okay, last question, Mr. Reid. Non-compliant properties, properties that have not complied with their development approval conditions, they're not obliged to get back their bonds. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. Does anybody else have questions? Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. So the audit that was done that found potentially 22 fences potentially not compliant, was a check done of the number of trees planted at all to see whether there was any compliance with the requirement to plant trees?
Unfortunately, I think that question was raised at the briefing session. The audit was specific just in terms of location of the fencing.
So we don't know how compliant or non-compliant the properties are with the requirements to plant trees.
Can I just say that it was evident from the one site we stopped in front of, but I think that approval was from a number of years ago. Well, I'm not sure what the standard was for tree planting.
Thank you.
I just have a question. So Councillor Hamilton's put forward an alternative, and that deals with the non-compliant ones at 76 and 80 Mayholman Drive. But you've indicated there are a number of other development applications and that are awaiting a determination tonight so that their fence can either be approved or not. What would the staff, if Councillor Hamilton's alternative was passed, what would the staff do with those applications?
I suppose there's two options. I need to think about this a bit further. Is either to refuse the applications because they don't comply with policy, or we'll bring them to council for determination for non-compliance with policy.
Thank you.
So,
okay.
Is there potential for something that addresses the setback but still looks at everything in a holistic way to avoid things coming back to council or refusing applications?
I guess that comes down to whether people are happy to have a 2 metre setback or not, and that's not something that's really been discussed.
Yeah.
But Councillor Hamilton,
I guess I'm wondering if there's a hybrid.
Can I ask another question
of
the staff then? Okay. I note that in our existing policy that we allow mesh fencing. Is that correct, Mr. Reid?
Yes.
Okay. So when we look at other industrial areas that have the palisade fencing, that obviously exists in their policies and they do not allow mesh fencing, correct?
I understand that's correct.
Okay. So the fact is that if we allow fencing on the boundary as it is at the moment, as you've put forward in your officer's recommendation, that fencing could in fact be mesh fencing of any description, because we don't really have a fencing, quality fencing guidelines in our policy at the moment.
This sounds as if I negotiated, but I would have no problems with reducing the setback for fencing to zero, subject to it being of palisade type fencing, and those are the applications, the outstanding ones that are before us.
Okay. If we've exhausted questions, we don't actually have a motion on the table yet. So.
Yeah, I'm having to move the officer recommendation.
Okay, so Councillor Gandrell's moving the officer recommendation. Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Brown, we've obviously got people against, and we've got Kath's alternative motion that she could move afterwards. I'm assuming there are people against. Mm-hmm. So would you like to open debate, Councillor Gandrell?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'm satisfied with the officer recommendation that it's picked up on the points that were raised by council following the inspections that we had. I'm also satisfied that Mr. Reid also mentioned that coming back next month would be an outline of when we would be reviewing policies and planning policies, so there will be a time frame given to councillors next month. I think that the officer recommendation satisfies the requirement for this report. I'll wait to hear back what other councillors have to say. As you've heard, the town planner has also mentioned that he's happy to put in a particular style of fencing type and design. That will also satisfy some of the outstanding matters until we get an opportunity to review the policies in more depth. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gandrell. Councillor Brown.
Thank you. I'll just repeat what I said before in reference to the setback. At the moment, we ask for a 2 metre setback. We have no control over what is planted, if anything is planted in front of that setback. As I said, tongue in cheek, it could be your Sunday lamb roast rosemary hedge of knee height. If we don't have that need for a setback, over a 30 metre property, we have 60 square metres where we can put in extra car bays, which would be appreciated, I'm sure, by the people that plan these estates. And within that 60 metres, we have the ability to have them plant an extra tree for every 4 parking bays within that extra land that they have. So if we want to increase our tree canopy, it seems counterintuitive to ask for a 2 metre setback over that. We have no control over what is part of that setback. It just seems counterintuitive to me. Therefore, do away with the 2 metre setback.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Speakers against, Councillor Wilson.
Industrial areas contain all kinds of activities, some of them quite hazardous. If an owner or a developer can't even comply with a requirement to put a fence in, what else are they not complying with? It seems to me absurd that we would change our policies to accommodate lawless behaviour of people who are not complying with simple requirements to put a fence in a certain place in a certain way. I'm very disinclined to change policies retrospectively to make good the actions of people acting in bad faith, and that's why I'm voting against the officer recommendation.
Speaker for the officer recommendation. Against, Councillor Hamilton.
Thank you, councillors. As Councillor Wilson has stated, I'm disinclined to reward behaviour which does not comply with development conditions. A previous council, around about a decade ago, brought in the setback requirement for very good reasons, and that was supposedly to actually encourage street planting of significant trees to enhance our industrial area, which, by the way, has not happened. So a previous council made a decision to amend the policy to have a 2 metre setback. Having read other policies of other councils, particularly Joondalup, which was recently done only 18 months ago, it's quite obvious that many councils have much greater setbacks than what we do, that many councils do not allow any fencing in the setback area, and this is specifically to enhance the look of the industrial areas. Many policies have design guidelines for their buildings. The City of Bayswater was brought up as one in the briefing session that we should look at, saying that they didn't have any setback. But what they did was they had a strategic plan for their area where the developer had to offset certain areas for a water compensation basin that was planted out. The developer had to pay for all the street trees. There were conditions there. And I don't mind that the fences in those areas were brought to the boundary, but they were offset by multiple other things in the planning policy that allowed for good quality development. This is ad hoc, bringing us a policy where we change the fencing simply because of non-compliance is ad hoc planning. It is not cohesive. It is not giving us good quality future planning. We want to have good quality. If we manage to get future developments that adhere to the planning guidelines, we will have, in the end, good quality development. But at the moment, doing this ad hoc chop and change, I'm sorry, I do not agree with that in it at all. I would like to see a proper policy put in front of us so that we can be guided and decide on things in a cohesive manner.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Are there any other speakers? Councillor Ganjil.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, planning policies obviously do change and guidelines do change over time. They can't be made retrospective, so there are occasions where there may be different styles in areas. Now, I personally believe that the Bassendean Industrial Estate happens to be one of the tidiest that I've certainly seen around the state. We're talking about fence here, whether it's 2 metres setback or it's on the boundary. I think tens of thousands of dollars actually go into purchasing the fences that are in the industrial area. This is the investment that comes into the town. Obviously, I think the greater situation, which has been addressed, is obviously increasing the tree canopy in the area, and the officers have picked that up in their recommendation. I personally think that the officer recommendation is satisfactory, as we will be reviewing the planning guidelines and policies going forward. So, personally, for this situation, I don't really see a need to bring down the big arm. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll put that to the vote. All those in favour of the motion? We've got Councillor Gangell and Councillor Brown, and against Councillor Wilson, Mikichuk, Hamilton, Quinton and McLennan. So that is lost. We have another motion.
My alternative.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
Of Councillor Hamilton. Of this, I just wanted to ask you about all tree planting to comply with the town specification. I wonder if you wouldn't mind going a little bit more specific in saying that an audit be conducted to specifically audit the number of shade trees, and all non-compliant properties be required to plant those by the 2020-21 planting season. It's just a bit more specific. Or shall we wait for the policy to be rewritten?
It's very tempting. It's very tempting, but it may complicate things just at this moment. I would rather wait until the policy comes back to us.
So you're moving your motion as written with the point A and B at number two?
Yep.
Okay, is there a seconder for Councillor Hamilton's motion?
I will, but just with a question. Seeing as we've got staff to have a look at how many fences are non-compliant, should we also check to see how many plantings are non-compliant as well?
An audit be conducted on the number of shade trees, and all non-compliant properties be required to plant those.
Okay, can I ask a question of the two?
Yes.
Okay. So my question about this from the two councillors is, we already have policies where obviously the compliance is an issue.
This is
I'm not entirely sure whether we should be beating a stick on past misdemeanors, or better still, looking strategically at future development and how we can improve future development. I'm a little bit torn there, because yes, I would like to go back with a big stick and say you need to do X, Y, Z. But I think we have so many things on our plate at the moment. I would like to get good policy in place, then followed by verge and tree planting, and then perhaps we look at the private properties and how we can actually deal with their non-compliance. But I think at the moment we might be biting off
a bit too much.
Yeah.
Okay, so we still have a mover for Councillor Hamilton's motion, seconded by Councillor Wilson now. Is there anybody against? Councillor Gangell, would you like to open debate, Councillor Hamilton?
Okay. As I have stated previously, I have looked at other policies from other councils. They are very mixed, obviously, but there seems to be a trend amongst some councils, at least, to improve the quality of their built zones in industrial areas. I fully support that. I note in some of the council policies elsewhere that they allocate a certain percentage of the lot that must be for soft landscaping. I would love to see that in our policy. I note that there are some aspects of some policies that incorporate renewable energy requirements. I would love to see that in our policy as well. So there are multiple things that I see as deficient in our current policy. And I do not agree particularly with changing a policy simply to give retrospective approval to people who have not complied with development approval conditions. I believe that we should make policy which is constructive to producing better outcomes. And this has been something that I have been banging on about for a while now. And obviously I will keep on keeping on with this, but this policy, I think it's opportune that we look at it in its entirety.
And fair enough, it might be that we do eventually agree on having fencing on the boundary, but conditional upon other things. And that's what's existing in other policies and other councils, that it's conditional upon other contingencies, that the developer puts in extra plantings, the developer might do renewable energy initiatives. Any of these things require compliance, and we should not be developing policy just because of non-compliance.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm pleased to second the amended motion moved by Councillor Hamilton, because I think it finds a right balance between finding a constructive outcome for lots 78 and 80 May Holman Drive, but also improving the amenity of the area, and also making clear that our town won't just turn a blind eye to lawless behaviour, but that we will seek a constructive outcome. And I encourage other councillors to support the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Gangell?
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, it does come down to resourcing and allocation of staff time and where we see that best allocated. Again, I'll reiterate the fencing in the industrial estate is actually of very high quality on the large part. There may be a particular fencing that was granted under a different planning guidelines. Now, the officers have said tonight that they will present back to council next month a timeline of when we can review planning policies. Now, just in the discussion Councillor Hamilton had with Councillor Quinton, with Councillor Quinton's recommendation, Councillor Hamilton replied with, "I'd rather wait until the policy is presented back to us before we look at making changes," and then talking about potential compliant measures, Councillor Hamilton then replied with, "I'm not sure I want to be beating a stick on past misdemeanours." Again, I think councils need to look at the allocation of resources the town has, the funding required to those resources to pursue various different things. Personally, whether or not a fencing is 2 metres setback on the boundary, I don't think it's worth the time's allocation, funding or resources to be pursuing these matters. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers? Okay, did you want to close, Councillor Hamilton, or are you happy?
I'm happy.
Okay, so we'll put that to the vote. So all those in favour, Councillor Wilson, Nikichuk, Hamilton, Quinton, Brown and McLennan, and against is Councillor Gangell, and that is carried. Thank you, everyone. So moving on to item 10, which is the reports. At the moment, I have the following coming out of en bloc.
All right, I'm not even up to en bloc.
10.2, 10.4, 10.6, 10.9, 10.10, 10.11, 10.15, 11.1, 11, sorry, 11.1 at 13.1 as well, 13.2, 13.3 and 13.4. Are there any additional items, Councillor Gangell?
10.3.
You know, I nearly took that out because I thought that you could not let that pass by.
No, most definitely not.
Any other items? Okay, so then can I have a mover for the remainder to be carried on block? Councillor Wilson moved, seconded Councillor Brown. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. So item 10.2, this is the request to purchase lot 5 Morley Drive East and the proposed concept plan for the lots. Mr. Reid, is there anything that you wanted to update us on since the briefing?
Only in as much as the recommendation in 10.2 is a little bit more precise than it was in the briefing section.
Okay.
Hopefully to capture comments about the concept.
Thank you. And councillors have also had an amendment circulated by Councillor Hamilton, which largely mirrors the officer recommendation, with the main difference being an additional 0.3.
And one of the dot, they may seem like minor amendments, but there's some wording changes that I wanted. Do you want me to read it out? Or?
Yes, maybe just read out the changes.
Okay. But Council 1 adopts the Eden Hill Master Planning Concept Plan prepared by Taylor, Robertson, Cheney and Broderick, dated March 2019, purely for the purposes of consultation with community and stakeholders prior to further consideration by council of the potential sale of Lot 5, number 246 Morley Drive by private treaty, and two, that further reports be brought to council to address the following: the proposed purchase price of the land, design amendments that address council's desire to preserve existing significant trees, assurances for the community regarding good quality design and development outcomes, arrangements to ensure that the land is developed in within a reasonable time frame, and any other information required to evaluate a proposal for the council-owned land to be sold by private treaty. And three, notes Council OCM 10/4/18 that advises Birmingham Properties that notwithstanding any of the above, the Council must observe the private treaty provisions of the Local Government Act 1995 and give due consideration to the public consultation results, and therefore gives no guarantee that it will sell Lot 5 Morley Drive East, regardless of what is supplied to the Council or undertakings made by the owners of 248 Morley Drive East.
Are there questions?
Yeah, some questions for the officers on the proposed amendment? just a perspective on the proposed amendment in terms of...
There's no real significant difference other than highlighting a few points, really, and then reiterating a position of council that's previously been stated. Would you agree, Mr. Reid?
Yes, I think we did discuss this at the... In a roundabout way, in a separate CMC meeting this morning, I suppose is really one of the recommendations. My original understanding was that consultation would be carried out with the community once we nutted out the sale price and all those kind of other things. What I'm just asking is the intention with recommendation one now that the consultation is carried out with the community in advance of finalising all aspects of the proposal.
So at the meeting this morning with the staff, the discussion was around consultation, and obviously there is a legislative requirement for 2 weeks minimum when the council is proposing to dispose of our land, but we also are aware that we want to go beyond that and that there's a lot of interest in this particular block of land and any proposals for it that the community has been watching very closely. So there's an awareness that there is a concept plan that's being presented to council. So what the discussion during the meeting this morning was around was providing that information to the community now when we have the information available, and then when a further report is brought back to council that addresses these other issues around proposed price, design guidelines, how we can ensure that an appropriate time frame of development and so on, that at that stage we can formally ask the community once we have all of that information, but we can still give the information around the concept plan that's available at this point as a bit of a staggered process so that we're not holding back information that we have at this point in time. Councillor Quinton?
I'm not clear on how long the consultation will be, though. I mean, it says 2 weeks, and you just mentioned that, but how long will it be? When will it start? What are the dates? Where are we going to do it?
Can I just say, in my report I mentioned 2 weeks is the minimum amount. I'm suggesting that I think in the report it could be expanded probably to 4 to 6 weeks. And then we probably use engagement tools like your, say, Bass and Dean as part of the advertising. I suppose, for what it's worth, I'm quite happy in terms of kind of releasing this plan for information at this stage, in terms of we're going through a process, this is where we've arrived at, and there will be further consultation in the future. But I'm not sure if the amendments to the first point are locking council into doing a consultation with the community now on the concept plan alone, irrespective of the sale price and those other issues associated with that.
Councillor Hamilton.
Okay. I actually didn't perceive that there would be an and or either situation. I thought that, as with many things in life, that you could proceed on multiple fronts and gather information from various areas and come back with a wide front of information, so I'm sorry if I seem a little bit bemused, but I didn't perceive that as being an issue. The community consultation, well, the community input into this plan, yes, I'm curious. I'm curious about what input the community might have. There'll obviously be different opinions, so I would seriously like to evaluate that. The other points that I've raised are points that other we have raised as a group about, you know, the timely development of the block, so none of that is surprising.
That's all actually included in the officer's
recommendation. Yes, there's only one extra point, which was the preservation of significant trees on the site.
Yeah, which is actually included in the report as well.
Yeah. And then a reminder of point three was that, you know, we have to be guided by the local government requirements in regards to so that's all that is. Some of the words, I mean, I was keen on changing some of the words, like evaluate instead of, you know, any other information required to allow a proposal for the land to be sold. Well, you know, we need to evaluate the information before we go to allowing the proposal.
So, Councillor Hamilton, I would see what you've proposed as just being an amendment to the officer recommendation. There's nothing substantially different.
That's what I thought too. So,
are there any other questions? So, Councillor Wilson?
The community consultation. Will the community consultation make it clear that the sale on the block will be conditional on there being some expeditious development of the block in line with the proposal that's been approved? Is that what's being proposed here, or just the fact that this area of land will be put to sale for agriculture?
Mr.
Longstone.
I guess it's kind of what I've been asking as well, around what questions are we actually going to ask, and how are we going to present it to the community so they know what they're commenting on, and is it around just should we sell this block or not, or dependent upon the time frame of development and what is going to be on the lot. Is that kind of what you're saying or not?
Yes, the why.
Yes. So my understanding is that it will involve the purchase price, buyback provisions and that kind of thing. I was kind of hoping that we would reach agreement, broad agreement with the intended purchasers, come back to council and then advertise the proposal for community input as opposed to information.
Right, but the vision that the developer has for the site, will that be communicated as a part of that consultation?
Yes.
How?
Through the council.
How will that information be received by the community members? Through which means?
So at the moment, sorry, Councillor, at the moment we've actually created a video with the concept plans, providing a narrative, and certainly that's something that could be made available. So there's the statutory requirements we need to address, but then I think there's the broader community engagement on the amenity, proposed use, development, you know, the look, the feel, the timelines, that I think we also need to make available to the community to seek their input on.
Yes, and the point about the sale potentially only being conditional upon some reasonable steps to make it come to pass.
And I think we can cover off council's position in that regard.
Could we make use of our new facility across the road?
It's already there.
It's up there on the screen already.
So the community already have access to that and a number of other projects that we have in the pipeline.
Thank you.
Okay, if there's no further questions, you're moving your motion, the amended motion. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Wilson. Is there anybody against? All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So item 10.3, the best practice non-chemical weed management. Councillor Gantry.
Oh, thank you, Your Worship. You've
been looking forward to this all night, aren't
I? I have. do love my weeds. So does the town. Mr. Cardy, do we know at when this proposed forum will take place?
I asked Mr. Stuart Dawkins last week, he wasn't quite sure when.
I'm not aware of it at this stage, but I'll try and find the details.
So just at this forum, can the cost analysis that the breakdown, thank you for providing it in the updated report, as it wasn't in last week's report, will that be part of the discussion about the cost implications of the different methods that are undertaken at the forum?
I believe the forum will be very detailed, and that would be part of the information provided when we discuss that.
Thank you. Now, last week there was a suggestion that in our garden beds, particularly in the town centre, but potentially throughout the it could be expanded throughout the town further, that we have a hand weeding program undertaken. Would that require additional staff than what we've currently got to hand weed garden beds?
The additional work taking would put some stress onto the amount of staff we currently have. It would also increase the budget for the amount of extra funds we need for traffic management in that area.
Okay. Now, there was... Oh, yes. So my understanding, what occurs currently is largely it's a whizzer-snip program that's undertaken in the entirety of the town. So the people go around whizzer-snipping. The
weeds.
Is that correct? We with a snip? Is that how it's undertaken?
The contract whipper snips.
Yep.
As well as placing the steam weed spray onto the roots of those weeds.
Thank you. I am almost winding up, councillors. Just wondering, as part of obviously with snipping and using the steam. Steamer. I'm assuming fossil fuels are used as part of those methods to operate those vehicles and whizzer snippers as well. Is that correct?
You can have battery powered ones for solar.
But I believe we're using fossil fuel operated ones.
At the present time, the vehicles used by our contractors, yes, by the petrol.
I think your comment about winding up had some other meaning.
Thank you. And just lastly, I do note. Basically, it's been, I just want to get this correct, it's been about a 1,000% increase changing to the different methods. So previously we had $10,608, but you deduct $2,420 from that, so it's about $8,000 thereabouts when we're using an alternative method to the whizzer snip steam that we've currently got. And this year, I just want to get this correct in the agenda, we have allocated this financial year $109,000. Correct.
Those figures are correct.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Okay, so we have an officer recommendation before us. Councillor Mikichuk.
I'm happy to move that.
Okay, seconded by anybody? Councillor Wilson. Is there anybody against? Councillor Mikichuk, would you like to debate?
Yes, certainly. So this notice of motion is really based around reflecting community values with undertaking weed control in a manner that is less damaging, well, or not damaging to humans and or animals and the rest of our environment, food chain and ecosystems. So really the intention behind this is to reflect what has been verbalised and communicated by many members of the community. I think it is to seek best practice in terms of weed control going forward that again tackles weeds but also conserves biodiversity and mitigates or limits any adverse impacts on humans or animals. I think it is also a welcome opportunity to invite industry experts to present relevant information and to develop a strategy going forward that reflects all of these values. I'd really urge councillors to support it. I note that it may incur more cost, but
there's no costs attributed to the potential detrimental environmental outcomes. If we attributed a cost to those, we might in fact balance the books or come out on top. So that's not necessarily all accounted for in what you say in the paper today.
Thank you, Councillor Mikichuk. Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I believe everything is a balance, especially in a small town with relatively modest expenditure and income that we have, obviously income and expenditure that we deal with. Obviously, we have seen a drop in income coming into the town in relation to development and investment over the period of time, and I think you've got to look at overall best practice when you're dealing with finances for an item to increase in proximity of 1,000% from alternative methods. I think that needs to be looked into and certainly raised. You know, potentially majority of the town may be happy and satisfied that we spent $109,000 when previously we were spending thereabouts $10,000 on the same process and getting overall better results, considering we are largely expending a lot of money on whizzer-snipping the town. Obviously, we still use chemicals on ovals and reserves where children play. We still use chemicals there, which obviously I would think they would be the more harmful areas. And it is something that you can't completely phase out. I'm just simply raising this as a concern that we're heading up towards 1% of overall rates collection being used for a method that's largely ineffective, in my view, and I've given it a go. I've certainly happy to trial it and see the outcome on overall in the town. But look, I think this is just something that needs to be addressed, because I think we're developing a weed canopy in the town. If you drive around the town and look at the footpaths and stuff, especially after there's been a bit of rain and stuff, it's certainly concerning in my respects that the town does start to look untidy, and that has an impact on the overall look of the town and value of the town. Thank you.
I'd just like to speak really quickly. I note your points, Councillor Gangell, and expenditure is obviously a high concern, as is the environmental expense that we may be incurring as a result of using potentially harmful methods. I think this recommendation really seeks for us to make our decisions on weed management based on evidence. So having experts come and speak to council, to staff and to our community to provide us with their information about what is the best practice, both in terms of cost effectiveness but also the safety for our environment, would give us a really good basis for making decisions that will deliver good outcomes for our community, and that we can be confident we're making decisions based upon actual science rather than different people's opinions in the community. And given how strong people's opinions are on this topic, I think it's really important that we have an opportunity to hear from experts and for their information to guide our decisions, instead of us just making those decisions based upon our own opinions. Yes, Councillor Gangell.
I've got a question after you finish.
Okay, I'm pretty much finished. So I would encourage councillors to support this motion so that we can ensure that our future decisions are based upon evidence-based practice. Yes,
just
Councillor
one
Gangell.
Very quick question. Are we paying the experts to attend the forum?
Well, unless they're giving their time free of charge, I imagine there'd be some cost involved.
What do we know what costs that will be to the town for these experts to come and talk to us about weeds?
We haven't got that detail yet.
Thank you.
Any other speakers? Councillor Brown.
Thank you. The thrust of this item is Outlines guidelines for treating weeds in close proximity to waterways, wetlands, rivers and streams. So it seems to be focused on the proven toxicity to aquatic life. And yet we keep referring back to the APVMA, the Australian Pesticides Veterinary Medicines Authority. And it refers to likely causes of cancer. The thrust of this is not about causing cancer in humans, it is the damage it causes to aquatic life upon which ultimately all life depends. So I would urge councillors to support this motion.
Any further speakers? Councillor Mikichuk, did you want to speak again?
Yeah, I probably don't have too much more to say, just to say that there isn't a cost attributed to environmental impacts, and I think that looking at what we expend and it's just important to recognise that that's not acknowledged here. And then the other thing to say is, yes, the motion did come out of chemicals around waterways, and I think it's really important, again, to hear about different alternatives to the ones that we're currently utilising. So I'd urge all councillors to support the motion.
OK, so I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Councillor Wilson, Gangell, Mikichuk, Hamilton, Quinton, Brown and McLennan. That's passed unanimously. 10.4, this is the Broadway Railway Parade timed parking that we had Mr. Brett Fleeton speak to earlier. Are there any questions? OK, in that case, we have a mover for the officer recommendation. Councillor Hamilton, are you OK? Councillor Quinton?
Looks like a deputation.
Sorry? No, just checking that. Councillor Quinton was okay. So Councillor Hamilton's moved, seconded Councillor Wilson. Is there anybody against? Mm-hmm. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. 10.6, this is the food organics and garden organics. I've since had a conversation with the CEO about this item. Discuss the need to have a workshop with councillors to go over the implementation of FOGO. And so at this stage, there's a proposal to have that workshop as part of our concept meeting next Tuesday evening. So in that case, I would propose that we remove point one of the officer recommendation, and until we have a chance to consider that as part of the workshop, we don't need to include that in tonight's decision. That would just leave items 2 and 3, which would then become items 1 and 2, respectively, to consider this evening. Councillor Gangell?
Are we going to have questions?
Yes.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'm just trying to, I suppose, for want of a better word, follow the money. So, I saw somewhere in the report that we've gotten a grant of $220,000, I think,
for
to memory.
Bins?
Yes, yeah. But the overall cost of implementation is $700,000. That my understanding, we've got that in a reserve, the $700,000. So the $220,000 grant is then taken away, so that's $500,000. Now, that doesn't include the purchasing of kitchen caddies.
Part of the discussion that we'll need to have together, because we haven't sat down as a council and talked about some of those specifics of the rollout.
Oh, okay.
And there were quite a number of things to discuss around things like kitchen caddies and bin liners and a whole range of things. Yes, things like that. And so my thought was that it would be much better to have that conversation in a workshop rather than trying to nut some of those specifics out tonight.
Oh, okay. So we don't have a cost estimates at this time frame, is that what you're saying?
Well, it will depend specifically on the implementation details.
Okay.
But we have done some work around a grant application with EMRC, and that's been based on certain assumptions.
Yeah. So then the other question that I had, and I'll bear in mind I'll leave a lot of my questions for the workshop next week, but just in October 2019, commence the engagement of casual staff to assist with public inquiries, waste education and bin tagging program for all properties. How many staff are we looking at? How many casual staff are we looking at engaging?
At this stage, pending the availability of the grant funding, the number could change. If we were successful in the grant funding, we're looking at 10 additional staff to do auditing 4 times throughout the whole of the town over a period of 4 months.
Okay. Now, just in the report, I didn't see, and I apologise. apologise if I've missed this, but I did reread it a number of times. How much have we applied for grant funding? Did I miss that in the report somewhere?
No, it's in the confidential attachment.
Oh, okay. I shall leave that to our workshop. Thank you.
Councillor Hamilton?
I'm grateful that we're going to have a workshop on that, because obviously with my amendment, I actually put that in there. But can I ask, in the confidential attachment, one of my key concerns were the key terms to be agreed. So could we perhaps in the workshop have that separated? I understand everyone's desire to understand the rollout of FOGO, but these key terms for me are very important. And I think that maybe the workshop should be divided into two sections.
Yep, I agree with you, Kat. Any other questions? So, in that case, do we have a mover for those?
Oh, sorry, we are still looking at the time frame as in the agenda.
That's correct.
Yep, thank you.
So are you moving the officer's recommendation, deleting point one?
That's correct.
Right, okay.
Because until we've considered that at the workshop, there's... Further questions? Okay. We have a mover for the officer recommendation minus point one. Okay, I will move the officer recommendation. Seconded by Councillor Hamilton. Is there anybody against? All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Are you clear on what's happening there?
Yes, points two and three.
That's correct.
Sorry, Renee, I thought you were mumbling to yourself. I didn't quite hear what you were saying.
Oh, sorry. 10.9, Sandy Beach Reserve concept plan.
Oh, how have I not got that? Oh, no.
Salvatore, is there anything that you wanted to speak to about this item? It wasn't at the briefing session. Or no? Are there questions that councillors have? Thank you.
Oh.
Councillor Hamilton first, and then you can...
I've actually got a small amendment, a small addition to the officer's recommendation when and if you're ready.
Yeah.
So do you want me to?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Okay.
So the officer's recommendation adds is until we get to point three. Point three divided into two sections, which is 3A, which is the same, request that Nature Place Solutions prepare detailed drawings based on the concept plan. And point 3B, liaises with town administration to develop a suitable lighting plan to be incorporated into the concept plan.
So can I just clarify, are you requesting Nature Place Solutions to liaise with the town administration?
Mainly because I'm assuming that the town would... I'm assuming that the installation of lighting is not Nature Place domain. However, if we're going to have lighting in this playground, the two parties need to negotiate and liaise where that lighting's going to go.
That's fine. I'd just suggest maybe rewording it so that it's point three, request that Nature Place Solutions A, prepare detailed drawings, and B, liaise with town administration. Otherwise, it sounds like the council liaises with the town administration.
Yep, no, that's fine. Yep.
Also, any changes to the concept plan would require them going back, changing the concept plan, that then coming back to us. Do you mean concept plan or do you mean detailed design?
Good point. I did actually ask the consultant, about lighting,
mm-hmm.
and he said that was not within his brief up until this point, but he agreed that lighting was a consideration that needed to be
incorporated. So should we just change that
forward
to detailed design then,
yes,
at the end of 3B?
It's concept plan, then we have to
start
all over. Amy,
no, that's
followed?
Incorporate into the detailed design.
Yeah, so point three should read, request Nature Place Solutions A, prepare detailed drawings, blah, 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 and B, liaise with the town administration to develop a suitable lighting plan to be incorporated into the detailed design.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions? So, Councillor Hamilton, you're moving...
No, sorry. Yes, just... previously, we have endeavoured to... sell the two blocks that we've purchased at 5% of the value for this project. Should that continue to be unfruitful, what is the options for council then going forward?
One option we spoke about this morning was looking at alternate funding sources. One will be to look at our cash reserves. There's also potential there to borrow monies as well. So those alternatives would be assessed and brought to council.
And do you know a time frame in which you would be looking to, I'm assuming, obviously the budget is approaching very, very fast. So the 1920 budget is approaching very fast. So obviously to go out and try and get interest on these two blocks, should that be unfruitful, then you're potentially dropping it back to 21-22 then in a budget process.
Yes. So I guess we're hopeful post the federal election that the property market may pick up, but there's also the option there of reducing the price on the lots if the market's not responding. So hoping that through that action we can sell the properties. Otherwise, we'd look at alternate funding sources. There's obviously a point in time in the project plan where those funds need to be available, and it's making sure that we've got that funding stream readily accessible at that point in the project. So some forward planning will be undertaken in that regard.
So they're just on that point about the delegation, I understand that council can set a minimum cap on that accepting offer. What have you had discussions about that? What that might be?
Minimum cap. No, I would suspect that it should be close to the asking price for the block, which would allow a negotiation to occur.
Another thing that we spoke about this morning, potentially if council did not want to support the one-time delegation, because that was put in place to try and avoid a situation where there was a time delay between an offer and it coming to council, but we did discuss the possibility of having a special council meeting at short notice if there was an offer made for council to make that decision instead of the CEO being delegated that responsibility. So that's another alternative that you might want to consider.
And that was actually something I put on the table. I just wanted to declare that my father used to work for Bruno Giorgi. Bruno was his employer for many years, as my father was in real estate. I don't know Bruno very well, but he has the listings for the two properties, so I felt somewhat uncomfortable being put in this position. So my preference would be for this option.
Okay, so we're
deleting point five.
Did we talk about that?
Well, that would be that would be the alternative.
Yeah. Okay. That's nobody's responding.
No. Nope, so we need a mover for a motion.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
Thank you. Did I hear right that you say that this wouldn't be a budget consideration until the 21-22 budget?
Well, the playground is proposed to be finished next year, middle of next year. So the drawdown would need to occur next financial year. So without having the project plan in front of me, there would need to be a drawdown on specific sums of money through the financial year, and we would just need to align our funding stream with the drawdowns and make sure that we've got funds accessible. So post the federal election, if we don't have a sale within, you know, a few months, that's when I think we need to start looking at alternate funding sources and bringing something to council as plan B.
Okay.
Did you have concerns, Councillor Quinton?
No, I'm happy to move the officer recommendation.
Including point five?
Including point five.
Do we have a seconder?
Mm-hmm.
Councillor Wilson? Anyone against? Councillor Brown?
I just want to clarify, maybe I'm confused.
So at the moment, we've just got the officer recommendation as it's written. There's been no changes made.
So, Councillor Hamilton, because we were discussing that just a minute ago.
You are correct. Thank you.
I was confused.
With Councillor Hamilton's amendment.
Yep.
Which is not...
Sorry?
That's
what are you talking about?
So we're on 10.9.
Yep.
I just... I forgot that we've had the amendment made. So it's moved Councillor Hamilton, seconded Councillor Quinton, including 0.5. So despite the CEO saying her preference would be not to have the one-time delegation, at the moment the motion on the table is to include 0.5, where the CEO would be given the one-time delegation.
That's what I thought I heard.
So
Can
I just clarify? Our CEO would prefer not to do the 0.5. Is that correct?
I would prefer. I just think it's managing any perception of a conflict of interest.
Well, with my amendment, I'm quite happy to delete 0.5,
yeah.
But it's really up to...
just said this conversation and nobody responded.
All right, hold on, everybody. I'm not on asleep, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know, I was like, no thoughts.
Okay, so we've got Councillor Quinton has moved 10.9 with the amendment and removing 0.5. Councillor Quinton, are you still happy to second that in the current form?
Yes,
sorry.
Okay, did you have a question, Councillor Wilson?
The CEO is able to then delegate her delegation, though, is she not?
We did discuss this, yeah.
So I guess what I'm offering is that if an offer was made, we could hold an extraordinary special council meeting just to deal with this one issue. If council are happy with that approach. Question?
Yes, so just with that approach, not that I, you know, well, we could be hopeful, but so if there were... multiple offers made, would that mean, and council declined offers, they would mean multiple meetings on this issue?
If the offer was in excess of the asking price, would it need to come to council?
No, I wouldn't think so. No.
Sorry, I just... What?
If there were multiple offers...
yes.
We'd be very pleased.
I know, that's why I said we could hope. Yes.
Well, there haven't been
any
bites to date.
We can always hope.
Can
okay.
I just follow through on that?
Okay.
If there was multiple offers,
you
would naturally go for the highest one, and only the highest offer would come to council.
No, but what I'm saying, if we rejected...
Over a period of time.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
But what's the status quo?
The current state is the properties are on the market and there has not been
But if
in
an offer is made today,
yeah.
What would have happened?
If an offer was made yesterday, what would the process be?
That it would be brought to council.
Right, so why are we changing that process?
Because, well, we're not if we remove 0.5.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's not change the process.
Okay,
so we've got a mover and a seconder. Is there anybody against? Councillor Brown, would you like to speak to it? Councillor Hamilton?
Not really.
No, Councillor Quinton, would you like to speak to it?
Oh, why would anyone want to be against this?
Sure, we'll find
out.
No,
I'm fine.
Councillor Brown, would you like to speak
Look, I'm going to disappoint some people. I think it's a terrific concept. I don't know that the timing is right. It's not coincidental. 6 months out from the last budgetary process, I said that I wouldn't vote for any pay rate rise at all, and I believe that we could achieve that by achieving savings. I don't know whether it was influential at all, but a less than 1%, in my opinion, was good enough, so I voted for that less than 1% rate rise. I made the decision in the last week that I wouldn't vote to have this occur now, and then I would ask that it be delayed until the 21-20 financial year budgetary considerations. We're going to come under cost pressures. The extent of those, we don't know. The timeframes of those, we don't know. But it certainly will come within this next financial year. I don't believe we should put ourselves in debt at this time. I don't believe we should draw down our revenue. And I don't believe we should sell community assets at this time. I won't be on council when, if it is delayed, I won't be on council when a decision will be made. I believe we should have a playground, or just this development. I don't know that it's a community priority. I break out my pie chart that says 90% of the population don't care. We have a community playground. There's some that do. I think it's a nonsense that we provide a regional playground. We're one of those fortunate postage stamp councils that has recreation facilities provided by other councils, wealthy councils around us. We're closer to those recreational facilities than many of their constituents and ratepayers. That's one advantage we have. I think it'd be financially responsible at this time to commit to this project. Great concept. I would urge that we put it in our back pocket, and it'd be financially responsible to wait until the 21-22 budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Councillor Gangell, and then you, Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I thank Councillor Brown. I do note the debate that we just had previously where I raised a 1,000% increase on an item that didn't flicker an eyelid. This, I believe, we should pursue and finalise. Certainly the concept should be pursued. The plan should be finalised. It's always very handy to have an item such as this ready to go. This has been years in the making. A lot of community involvement, and also it will come back for council's consideration during the budget process. So at the moment, the minister's approved $238,000 from cash in lieu to be spent on the playground. We're putting in for a $200,000 Lottery West grant, which is $438,000. We're part way there. We've got to have a look at the blocks that we have for potential sale to help fund the remainder. But again, I believe at this point in time, the plan should definitely, and this should definitely be finalised, pursued, and ultimately, should the funding not be forthcoming in the avenues that we would all hope, then I believe we can have a further discussion on whether or not it should be drawn down from reserves or from rates revenue. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gangell. Councillor Wilson?
Call the speakers against.
Well, did you want to speak against?
No. Just letting those who want to speak against have the opportunity to do so, should they be? No.
I rise to speak in favour of this motion because I think it's very sensible that we should put together a grant application for Lotteries West. Also, I think it's very sensible that we should endorse the concept plan that was presented to us, as it is a very good plan. It is a sensible plan that takes on board the community feedback and seeks to balance all of the competing interests and uses in that space. And I'm very surprised to hear some of the what I think are mischaracterisations or misrepresentations put forward by Councillor Brown, referring to the blocks that might be sold to part fund this as being community assets. Councillor Brown knows full well that the only reason the town is in possession of those blocks is to fund the playground. These are not open space blocks that have been in the town's possession for a very long period of time. They were given to us at 5% of the value, such that we could fund a nature-based playground, and to characterise them as town assets that should be held onto for some unknowable purpose doesn't do this debate any justice at all. I think that we should move forward on all of the points but 4.5, and we should build this playground as expeditiously as possible.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Councillor Quinton, you've already waived your right to speak.
Can't speak now.
Anybody else like to speak? Councillor
Wilson? I finish?
Yes.
I put myself at the bottom.
Okay. First of all, councils around this table will know that I had concerns
some many months ago, and I am very pleased that there have been changes that reflect acknowledgement of some of those concerns. I'm very pleased that the consultant took on board some of the comments from the community. So I basically am now very supportive of this project. I agree that the lots that are for sale were basically purchased on a scheme, I think it was 152, where we buy them at 5% of the value from the state government to sell at commercial or rates, so that their money could be used to finance this playground. That was the purpose that the minister signed off on, for us to have that land. So I think that the very least, we should move forward with accepting the plan, applying for Lotteries West grant, and undoubtedly this matter will still come back to council. So Councillor Brown, it's not as if it's going to happen instantly. However, I do think that the market for selling land is perhaps going to stay somewhat stagnant for some time. So I don't know that council can stay still waiting for perhaps a change in the market. We have to operate on the premise that we are here to provide services for our community. And if we can do that in an efficient manner, then I would say that we should at least move in an orderly fashion to facilitate this project.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Okay, so all those in favour of the motion, Councillor Wilson, Gangell, Mikichuk, Hamilton, Quinton and McLennan, and against, Councillor Brown. So that is carried. 10.10, finalisation of Town Planning Scheme 4A. I have a query, Mr Reid. So the officer recommendation is to prepare a further report. Would it be possible, you've included some of the things that you would have in that report about alternative strategies. The administrative ongoing costs, is it your intention to clarify them as part of the report so we have a very clear picture of what the annual...
I think my report has got a bit bigger as a result of Mr. Keith's presentation.
Okay. So that's a yes? Thank you.
Well, can I ask a clarifying question of your report then? Could we investigate the possibility of writing to the minister about abolishing the scheme?
Yeah.
Is that a yes?
Certainly that would be an option in the report.
Yeah.
Okay. Or even in the interim, so that we have that information for the report would be great.
Yeah. Excellent.
Any further questions? Okay, so do we have a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Gangell, seconded Councillor Hamilton. Anybody against? All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Coe. 10.11, the quarterly report. So I would just like to note the quarterly report at this point in time is in a bit of a transition stage. So you would have noticed that we had all of the priority projects come to council recently. Good evening. And also we've recently completed the new CEO KPIs. So the next iteration of the quarterly report will reflect that new format. But at this stage, we've still got the previous format. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we're running a parallel process at the moment. So we have our priority projects, which you'll be provided with a quarterly report on how those priority projects are tracking in your councillor's bulletin on Friday. And you'll note the format's a little bit different from the quarterly report you've got in your papers tonight, which reflects pretty much the corporate business plan. So going into next financial year, we will try and meld the two, and all the work that we've done on the priority projects will really help facilitate next year's planning. I was also intending on bringing a report to council for discussion prior to the ordinary council meeting on my 6 months as CEO in terms of performance. So something I'd like to offer to you, but also a public document that could be made available to the community as well.
So something we've also discussed as part of the performance management, instead of just having the once off at the end of the year performance review, that align it with the quarterly reports. So Peter will provide these summaries at the same time as the quarterly reports in future, and we'll have the opportunity to sit down and discuss them so that we can understand how the organisation is progressing and any areas of concern that we need to have a look at. So that will be the plan for future quarters. But questions on this quarter? Yes.
Page 16, please. The Club Connect initiative. When will be the next mental health first aid training, please?
I'm not sure, Councillor.
Because we had a pretty substantial budget and we've only spent a tiny amount of that on one session. I envisaged that we would probably have about four or five of those sessions throughout the year, and we've had one, and I moved this motion in March last year.
Yeah.
And very little has been done. So it would be really great to have more. I know that the community is wanting them. Every time I go out, I talk about it. I went to the Jimmy's Day Memorial Day and talked about it, and everyone is asking me about it. So if we could at least have another one booked in by the end of the financial year, that would be excellent. Mm-hmm. I notice here that the roadshow is planned to be held on NAIDOC Day. When did that decision get made?
It's not necessarily probably doesn't read correctly the same as it's just going to be held on NAIDOC Day. I think what we probably discussed was that there's a potential to link in the roadshow with key events that the town's holding.
Great.
So one of the opportunities was we saw as NAIDOC Day being a good opportunity given that it's school holidays and it's a lot of young people there. Got a number of sports that will be there as part of the sports zone. So it's not just segregated just to NAIDOC Day.
Okay.
Probably what we should have done is that we'll link in with a number of key events.
So maybe just we're doing a travelling roadshow to lots of our little events, maybe?
Trying to maximise rather than, because I think the discussion was always that to do it as a standalone.
Mm.
You may not be able to sort of capture as many people as possible. Where if we can link it in with some of our major events, you can access a wide audience. So NAIDOC Centre is one opportunity, but there's lots of other opportunities too that we can factor that in. I suppose what it needs is a bit of longer range plan than the schedule needs at the moment. It's probably just we've done the mental first aid training February, and it needs a sort of a longer term program. That's what it really probably needs to really effectively implement, otherwise it's a bit
thank you. And I didn't see on here the suicide prevention working group or anything. I didn't see it. We told 17 people that they would be part of a community group, and we have done nothing with it.
So we discussed that.
Have we written to them? Mm-hmm. Have we called them? Have we done anything?
Well, I'm going to be following that up as part. That's one of the strategic projects that we talked about this morning at CMC, and I'm going to be following that tomorrow. Corporate management committee.
So just following on from Councillor Quinton, there was another along similar lines to the mental health first aid. We also had funds put aside as part of our Switch Your Thinking program for running workshops that, again, the community had been really interested in, but we've only delivered one so far. In communication with Jeremy, there was another workshop planned. I think it was for maybe sometime in June, but there's a whole range of programs available to us. When they came and spoke to us, there were so many that they said, you can't do them all. So far we've done one, and I think that's a little bit of a wasted opportunity, and we've got this resource, we're not having to pay an additional for it. So if we could potentially deliver some more in even a regular basis, I think that'd be really well received by the community, and would be a good use of our investment into switcher thinking, so that would be fantastic. Councillor Hamilton?
Thank you, Mayor, because you did touch on one that I was going to ask a question about anyway. This is a really simple one. On page 15, you've got the rat baits. Can I just ask officers to ensure that those rat baits don't provide secondary poisoning to birds like owls and what have you? I would be very concerned if that was the case, especially given we're giving out so many, 1,320. Then there is... okay, that was one count. Okay, page 21, we've got the consulting arborist engaged to identify suitable nursery trees. Now, I know that there's been emails going about the Assets Committee, but I am still concerned that we are now moving into the wet season and we have at this point in time little information about the direction that we're taking with this. And I know that that various people in this room have made a great deal of effort trying to make sure that things progress in an orderly fashion, particularly the CEO. So I'm concerned with the comments in that section. So I'd like to have some clarification. It may not be able to be given tonight, but I'd really like some clarification about what's happening there and when the next asset meeting is going to happen, blah, blah, blah.
So, Councillor Hamilton, we share your concern and raised this morning as well. And when you get the project updates on Friday, you'll see that project has been highlighted as... Pardon?
Yeah, just in relation... Didn't we just allocate a whole heap of money for an arbitress?
So that was one aspect. For our urban forest officer or whatever that position is.
But I thought we allocated additional money for an arbitrist
to select the trees.
Ad hoc arbitrist, if you like.
Yes. We did, Councillor Gangell.
Arbitrist.
An arborist. So what we did is we allocated some money for an arborist to select trees for us so that we got good quality stock that would be suitable for planting and meeting our town's requirements. But there's been some complication with that process. So this is why the project is in
red. What's the complication?
I was trying to think of a suitable word. Red.
Staff?
Pardon?
Sorry, can we hear from the staff or the CEO what the complication is?
Feel free to elaborate, Ken, but essentially our consulting arborist was engaged. It took some time for that engagement to occur. A report was provided. That report wasn't to the standard that we were hoping. Amendments were requested of the consulting arborist, and he advised that he is going on leave and returning today. So we're hoping that report is finalised. That's the report that needs to come to the Assets Committee. And the urban forest officer, it has taken a while to pinpoint that position description, but I understand the job has now been advertised. Okay.
Yeah. How much do we pay this person?
The consulting arborist?
Yes.
I would have to ask Mr. Cardy.
$9,400
Oh, okay. And he's produced a report that's unsatisfactory to the town. And he's told us he's going on holidays.
No, not. He's produced a report of what we've asked him, but we've asked him to detail it a bit more than to allow council to have more information for it.
Okay. Thank you.
So, shall I continue? Because that's going down a rabbit hole.
So in answer to your question about the town assets, you may have seen I sent an email today and asked Brenda about when the next meeting is, and she's finding a time in the near future so that we can get together and progress this.
Okay. Page 22, we've got Develop Swan River Precinct Plan, no action this quarter. Councils will recall that when the EMRC presented at a workshop, a concept workshop, that I requested consideration be given to the four member councils that have river frontage, perhaps creating a joint process for riverbank restoration. So when it says no action this quarter, I'm hoping that some of the comments that we put forward might be actioned, and this was one where I thought, well, the EMRC could possibly assist us in creating an overall plan, particularly for grant monies and what have you with riverbank restoration. Now, Whitfield Street, safe active. Sorry.
The Swan River Freezing Plan is supposed to be a distinct project. It's been funded largely by the former Swan River Trust. And it's a look at four short treatments within the town of Barcelona. a draft of the document has been produced probably a year or two ago, but we need to get back together with the Swan River Trust to update that document and bring it back to council. So that project, whilst there hasn't been any tremendous action on it, it's a specific project for a specific purpose.
So this was produced over a year ago, you're saying?
In draft form, yes.
Okay.
And both the Swan River Trust and Officers of the Town have struggled and put a commitment into that document at the same time.
Page 25, we've got Whitfield Safe Active Streets, blah, blah, blah. I have a question on this because I noted in the officer's report for the Sandy Beach Playground, the last paragraph mentioned that the Whitfield Safe Active Streets, the design was almost concluded and would be going to construction soon. This doesn't align with what was in my head because I believe I heard the mayor ask the staff to make sure that community were consulted before it went to construction. I believe that happened during the mid-year budget review. That's my recollection. I'm not entirely sure if that's correct. I also believe that during the presentation from the consultants in November last year, that some of the councillors, including myself, asked if the section that was being presented to us, which was only between Guildford Road and the proposed cul-de-sac, which is no longer there, going to be there, if this was the only modification that was going to be presented to council. And I believe from what was presented by the consultant that they said that there would be more and it would come back to council. Now, none of this is reflected in the information. So I'm wondering, number one, community consultation, is that happening or not? And number two, are there other modifications to this plan which we haven't seen? And if there are we going to see them?
Oh, Ken wasn't there this morning, please.
With regards to the community consultation, I believe Department of Transport were actually doing some of that consultation process. I haven't been on top of it for a couple of weeks now, so I'll have to get that, give you the full updates. And I'll ask the officer in looking after that to give you more updated information of all those questions.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
So, Councillor Hamilton, just to reassure you, this morning I raised the same issues because my understanding as well is that at the 85% design stage, Department of Transport were going to meet with residents on site, particularly those where there were traffic calming measures planned for outside their property, to walk through and make sure that the design met people's requirements. And I also requested that it comes to a councillor workshop before it progresses any further so that we can have a look at the designs before it gets to that final stage. And I think that was noted for a future concept workshop.
Yes. Now, page 27, the top final draft of economic development strategy received and endorsed by Economic Development Committee, recommended for council adoption. Now, I'm assuming from what I've read previously in the agenda somewhere else that this is now going to come to us as a workshop, correct?
That's
right,
correct.
Okay. So I'll forget about that. And I might be done. Thank you.
Does anybody else have questions on the quarterly report?
Just quickly.
Councillor Quinton first.
Page 11. The LED lights. What does it mean that half the quotes have been received from Western Power? Why are we only receiving one quote per light? I don't understand the sentence. I don't understand the sentence.
My understanding is that all the drawings and specifications for that work have been provided to Western Power. Western Power then go through and view each project as individually for lighting in those streets, and they've only provided us a minimum amount of quotes back for that at this stage. So we've done all the work possibly we can to do this, back to Western Power to actually give us a quote on the work to be done.
Right. Okay, so they're only giving us a quote for each street.
Each street's been broken up into work allocated under drawings and specifications.
Yeah.
And that's provided to Western Power for each load of work. So each individual area is its own project, and Western Power are providing feedback and quotes for each of those projects.
Okay. So why don't we have? Why didn't we allocate enough money in the budget to upgrade all the lights?
Council's allocated $30,000 for upgrading the LED lighting within 200 square metres of Success Hill,
right.
And also allocated $30,000 to do one lamp post in Thompson Road. That information is probably broken into a couple of projects to get that work done, and just waiting on that feedback.
Okay, doesn't answer my question. So we didn't. So they're giving us prices higher than we predicted when we did the budget last year to do these projects.
They haven't given us all the projects, so I can't say whether it's higher or lower at this stage.
But when it says the current budget will not be sufficient to upgrade all the lights, were we anticipating that it would have been sufficient?
Under our initial discussions with Western Power, they advised us a certain amount of the tender they went out to get.
Mm-hmm.
When they receive the information from their tender process, they come in with multiple offers and different alternatives to the lighting, when initially in the first place they're only going out to ask for one certain type of light, and that's what we've got the quotes on, that certain type of light. So
can I just be clear about this? Even though we have to pay for upgrading the light, Western Power does the tender process.
Yes, that's correct. It's Western Power's poles, and Western Power's lights. If we want to upgrade those lights to alternative LED, we pay for Western Power to do the work.
Councillor Hamilton?
Okay, the last page. I really need someone to explain this to me.
What
because
page number is it?
Right. The grants.
Oh, yep.
Page 34. Well, for instance, the SDSCHSP grants, which is halfway down the page, it's item number 922001. We have a variation or a budget amendment there of $45,426, and I'm just confused. I'm trying to figure out. You know, we have an original budget, we have a budget amendment, we have a year-to-date at the end there, and I don't quite understand what the deal is with that, so that's why I'm asking.
Through the Chair, the original budget, $1.3 million, is in the current budget, so since we adopted the original budget, we've had an extra advice of an additional $45,000 coming in.
Excellent.
So our total budget is $1.362.
Well, that was fine. It's just that it had minus in front of it, so that's why I was querying it, and it was very confusing.
It's just one of those things we use minuses for.
Okay, right. That's why I needed someone to tell me. There's also others, which I think they're only small, but the others that have no original budget, where some you've received, obviously, funds like the first one, the Sport and Recs grant, and then there's others where you've got year-to-date actuals where there was no original budget, so this it's...
Good Chair. Some of those grants are for the small ones, which we don't actually anticipate a budget when... When we adopt the original budget in July, but through the processes of community services, we do get smaller grants for volunteer type functions, which the staff buy through the appropriate channels.
Okay.
Sometimes successful, sometimes not.
Okay, that's fine. I just needed to have a briefing on that. Okay, second last page, page 33. Broadway Arboretum, stage 2. I note that we have $44,100.86 there. It looks to me, if I'm reading this correctly, that it's coming out of reserves and it's going to be used for stage 2. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, councillors went for a site visit to the Broadway Arboretum, and there was no decision on what to do with that project, because obviously there were some issues with the original Cyrix plan and the original stages. So can someone tell me what's happening with this? Anyone?
I love the crack. It's my understanding that that column actually relates to expenditure that's been approved by the Minister for Planning.
Yep.
But there is no intention. So he said, yes, you can use it on stage two. I don't think we've been able to come forward with a proposal where councillors are prepared to use the funds. So it'll sit there, I suppose, until we agree a project or it's allocated to another project.
Okay. That's it for that one.
Okay. If there's no further questions, do we have a mover for the officer recommendation to receive the report? Councillor Quinton moves, seconded Councillor Brown. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously, but Councillor Kachuk is not in the room. 10.15, the financial statements. Councillor Gangell, is that a question?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Did give Mr. Lappin pre-notice of this question prior to the meeting. I was just wondering if you could advise how much we are in the red to defaulters, people that haven't paid or aren't up to date with their rates.
Chair, I couldn't exactly give you a figure of defaulters,
yep.
But mm-hmm. We have 1.5 million outstanding.
Outstanding, that's what I wanted, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have a question, Councillor Hamilton?
Well, I also followed up with Ken before the meeting and asked about whether the lack of incentives had actually created less volume of people paying their rates in advance, but Ken couldn't give me that information immediately, so I wouldn't mind knowing that at some stage, but obviously there's no urgency.
Just to advise, we had a similar discussion this morning, and I've asked Ken for a longitudinal analysis over 3 years to understand payment patterns of behaviour around the payment of rates at what point in the year, but also at the end of each year, how much we have outstanding. The discussion started with incentives for those that paid early, and it seemed that traditionally there's been some payment of incentives to those that have the capacity to pay early, which doesn't really address those that don't have the capacity to pay. So thinking about what are the appropriate incentives and, you know, potentially how do we assist those that aren't paying, what mechanisms. So it was in the overall discussion around setting of rates, fees, charges, and thinking about our budget income streams for next year. So we could certainly pass on that information.
Oh, yeah, but just curiosity more than anything.
Mr. Lappin, I just had a question. I know maybe last month it was that Councillor Wilson also raised with you the ethical investment, and just wondering what your intention is to try and deliver on some of the council's desire in that area.
Yep. So, Chair, I've had a brief conversation with the CEO about engaging a consultant to guide us in that area. The ethical investments is a bit of a grey area to myself, considering the current portfolio, you've got a bit of a mixture of banks that don't fit the criteria that isn't an investment policy at the moment. I know there's a number of other financial institutions out there who proclaim to be in that category of meeting our investment policy, but couldn't exactly provide any specific advice as to their ratings and how many other councils invest with those particular organisations. So I need to talk to somebody who's a professional in the investment portfolio who can guide us through, which I believe needs to be clarified anyway with somebody who's more of a professional in investment criteria than myself.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Can I suggest that there might be alternatives to employing a consultant for that information? That we could, for instance, look at organisations, other organisations that are investing ethically, and simply copy and paste the organisations where they're placing those investments. I believe EMRC members, are they now investing their funds ethically?
Yes.
So they would have a list of those organisations where they invest?
There is a list on the internet available for free for anyone who Google searches at Council Hamilton.
Okay, so we don't necessarily have to go and spend money on a consultant to find ethical organisations to invest in. We could possibly just liaise with even the EMRC, who are partners in us with us in many aspects, that they could just give us the information. I'm just thinking that to employ a consultant for that is just so expensive that we blow any extra revenue we might earn in this very low interest environment, and I would like us to invest ethically but not invest excessively in a consultant.
I echo your thoughts, Councillor.
Through the Chair, yes, you can Google search, and I've actually done that myself, and there are up to 30 or 40 financial institutions which claim to fit that criteria. I'll have a conversation with the EMRC just to see where their investment portfolio fits to start with. But yes, you're right, you can actually Google that information, but for me to make an informed decision as to out of those 30 or 40 financial institutions what their financial rating is, and to ensure that the council's finances are sound, I'm not quite au fait with making that decision. But I'll make inquiries with the EMRC to start with.
That would be great, thank you. All right, do we have a mover for the officer recommendation for item 1015? Councillor Gangell, seconded. Councillor Brown, all those in favour? So everybody, random hands going up, and can see here, carried unanimously. 11.1,
Your Worship, just want to bring to Council's attention before we do move on, because we didn't pull it out of en bloc, just very quickly, two things that are not in the calendar for May. The Volunteers Night that we're having in May, I think it's on the 23rd, that's not in the calendar, and also our new Free Persons is also not on the calendar.
I thought we only included public events in
school. Well, Wowga is Metro Zone. No, I thought it was just events that councillors attend. I wouldn't thought the airports group was public.
Yeah, so they've been noted.
Thank you.
Okay, so 11.1, notices of motions. We've got Councillor Hamilton's Tonkin Park container sale notice of motion. Are there any questions for the staff, or would you like to speak to the motion at all?
Normally we get a staff overview, but we don't have staff overview on this one.
It is my understanding of the process that if the staff are going to raise some form of objection or be armed in a notice of motion, that we would put some comment on, but I think there's no objection from myself in terms of the notice motion.
And Councillor Gangell, Councillor Hamilton's original notice of motion has been, you've discussed it with staff and refined it to reflect the feedback that they've given you, is my understanding, is that correct?
I did refine it, yes.
Oh, okay, hang on. I was going off the original one. Okay.
So are there any questions? Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Councillor Hamilton's obviously moved to notice of motion. Is there a seconder? Councillor Brown, anybody against? Always in favour? That's carried unanimously. So moving on to confidential items, do you have a move to go behind closed doors? Councillor Mikichuk, seconded Councillor Hamilton. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Reid.